You know, the nation of Israel didn't have many good kings. Had a lot of bad kings, a few good kings. But we want to look at one of the good kings today. If you turn over to 1 Kings, the 13th chapter, in King James Version is what we'll be using. 1 Kings, the 13th chapter. In verse 1 said, "Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the name by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born in the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." Now, this was about 326 years before Josiah was born. It was a prophecy that was called him out by name. The prophecy was made to Jeroboam, who rebelled against Rehoboam, Solomon's son, and took the northern 10 tribes of Israel, and they just went into utter paganism in the while the south country of Judah stayed closer to God for a while. Not too long, but for a while. Now that is a longer time than if a prophecy had been made in the days of George Washington for us today. We'd still have nearly 100 years to go before we would come to the fulfillment of it. So it was made for many years in the future. But let us look and see how this prophecy was fulfilled. The first part about the altar being rent was immediate that same day. Verse 4, "And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand upon the altar, saying, lay hold on him, and grab him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it back to him. The altar was also rent, split open, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said to the man of God," it's amazing how you could be humbled when something like when God strikes you, isn't it? "Entreat now the face of the Lord your God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and it became as it was before. And the king said to the man," it's Jeroboam speaking to this prophet, this unnamed prophet, he doesn't give his name. He said, "Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward." And the man of God said to the king, "If you will give me half of your house, I will not go with you, neither will I eat bread nor drink in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat not bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that you came." Now, we can read on the rest of this chapter, and it's clear the prophet knew he was not supposed to eat and drink in up there in Samaria. He was from Judah, but he went up to fulfill it, give this prophecy, and he was supposed to go back by a different way. But yet another prophet who came to him said, "Oh, I too am a prophet. You come home with me." God has said you. He deceived him, and he convinced him, and he went home with him. And we won't get into the details of that, but you can look at verses 11, 15, 18, 24 gives that. The second prophet deceived him, and the lion came out of the on the way home and killed the first prophet. And the second prophet, when he was told of that, the prophet from Samaria there in Bethel, he was very sorry. He realized he had made a mistake. So he sent his sons out, and they buried him, and he instructed his sons to bury himself when he died by that same prophet in Judah. He wanted to be buried, and that's in verse 31. We won't get into all that detail because we're trying to get to Josiah. Neither of these prophets were named, but we'll read more about them a little later on. Now, my purpose today is to cover the life of Josiah. Josiah was a prophet in Israel, in Judah, particularly Judah, during the time of Jeremiah, though Jeremiah doesn't enter too much into this story. He was one of the few good kings of Judah. I think it's good if we learn what we can about him. And if we learn about the good and the bad of his life, and how God's consistency of dealing with mankind, we will gain some knowledge. So let's first get a little background. Turn over to 2 Kings, the 21st chapter. In other words, page over about 300 years. That's what we're saying, because it's about how long it took. 2 Kings 21. We'll get a little background here. Now, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. Now, we'll see in the story here, Manasseh was the grandfather of Josiah. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which evil is in the sight of the Lord, the abomination of the heathen, which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. In verse 11, because Manasseh, king of Judah, had done these abominations, had done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols, therefore saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And down in verse 18, Manasseh slept with his fathers, was buried in the garden of his house, as after a 55-year reign in the garden of Uzzah, and Ammon his son reigned in his stead. Now, Ammon was the father of Josiah. In verse 19, Ammon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Meshulamith, and it just didn't tell too much about her, but I think there's a point that these young kings' mothers were given, because I think we'll see a trend here. And he did that was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him and slew the king in his own house. It was pretty violent times that they lived in. And the people of the land slew all of them that had conspired against the king Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Now we come to Josiah, starting with chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Eternal, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the left or to the right. Now that's really remarkable in that heathen culture that they had, all the idol worship and everything, and with the influence of his grandfather and his father. And apparently his mother really had a lot to do with it. Just imagine, 8 year old, he wouldn't know his left hand from the right. He would go by what the society was doing. So his mother must have had a great prevailing influence on him. And I think that's why it gave her name, as well as it gave the name of his father's, in other words, his grandmother as well. Because she probably influenced her son, Ammon. It caused him to go astray. Now, notice that Josiah was only 8 years old. And notice that Manasseh's and Ammon's fathers were also listed, as I said. Manasseh was only 12, and Ammon just 22-year-old when they began to reign. So a 12-year-old or even a 22-year-old would probably be influenced quite a bit with her mother. Certainly an 8-year-old would. Another thing I've wondered about, and that's just more or less speculation, it says that Manasseh caused his children to pass through the fire. In other words, they were sacrificing their children. Somehow or another, his grandchild didn't get picked. It could be this mother was worried about that, and maybe that's one reason she was so diligent to train her child right. But it says Josiah walked in the ways of his father David, which really is his ancestor David, who had reigned about 375 years before. The story of Josiah is contained in both 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. Chronicles seems to have a little more detail, so we need to look at both of them to get the complete picture. As I said, he was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years. Look over at 2 Chronicles, the 34th chapter, and it repeats what we just read about the 8 years when he began to reign, verse 1. And he walked in the ways of David, his father. He wouldn't either to verse 2. And then in verse 3, it gives a little more detail that's not given in Kings. The next verse in Kings, from where we were, would have picked up when he was in the 18th year of his reign. But here we see in verse 3, in the 8th year of his reign, 10 years before, when he was yet young, in other words, he would have been 16 years old, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. In the 12th year, he would have been 20, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on the high, that were on high above them, he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them. He just crushed them and strewed them on the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And look at verse 5. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon the altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. Now, that's one of the prophecies that was given by the prophet from Judah when he came up to Jeroboam. And he did so in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, even to Naphtali. That was all up what used to be Israel and their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he had returned to Jerusalem. This evidently took some time to go to all those cities. There's some indication here it may have taken 6 years to do that, because the story's picked up in his 18th year of his reign. So perhaps he was up there the biggest part of the 6 years. Maybe he made several excursions up and did that. But there's a lot happened between the time he was 20 and he was 26. In other words, he would have been in his 18th year of his reign, he would have been 26. He started reigning when he was 8 years old. 8 plus 18 is 26. We noticed in particular verse 5, where this prophecy had been partially fulfilled, and that he burned the bones of the priests. But now look back, let's go back now to 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter, verse 20, 2 Kings 23. And he slew all the priests on the high places that were there upon the altars, and burned men's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem. This is the same way he turned to Jerusalem, where the count it was given in 2 Chronicles. Apparently, this included the bones of false prophets that were alive at that time. He slew them, and then he burned them on the altar. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Remember the two unnamed prophets back in 1 Kings 13 that prophesied to Jeroboam. In 2 Kings, back up, we're in 23, back up to verse 15. 2 Kings 23 and verse 15. I was looking at the wrong place. Moreover, the altar was at Bethel, and the high places which Jeroboam had made Israel to sin had made, both that altar and the high places he brake down and burned the high place and stamped it to powder and burned the grove. And Josiah, as he was doing it, as Josiah turned himself, he spied, or he saw the sepulchres that were there on the mount, and he set and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and he burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the words of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. So he took these bones out of the, yes, it was prophesied that he would burn the bones. He'd already burned the bones of those that were alive, but he was taking the bones of the out of the sepulchres. And then look at verse 17, and he said, "What title is that I see?" Evidently, they had their sepulchres marked like we do tombstones today that had his name. And the men of the city told him, "It is the sepulchre of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that you have done against the altar of Bethel." And he said, "Let him alone." In other words, don't take his bones. He's the man of God. "Let no man move his bones." So they left his bones alone, and the bones of that prophet that came out of Samaria. In other words, that's the prophet that deceived him. It wanted to be buried by Josiah. They were buried there together in the same sepulchre, so their bones were not included in this prophecy, and they weren't burned along with those pagan priests. bones. This was a specific prophecy that we started with in 1 Kings 13, some 334 years before, where the prophet from Judah was slain by a lion for disobeying God, and the prophet from Samaria who deceived him but was sorry later and directed his sons to bury him besides the one that the lion slew. So I thought that was interesting that those two prophets, God remembered them, and they were there, and their bones weren't burned. They weren't included in the prophecy. Now, perhaps Josiah is best remembered for the Passover that he directed that the people observe in Jerusalem. This, too, was in his 18th year of Josiah's reign. You know, he had a very busy 18th year. He began to seek God when he was 16 years old, and then when in his 20 years old, he began to burn and tear down these altars, and it continued on until he was 26. And 2 Kings 23 in verse 21, and the kings commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover and the Lord your God, as is written in the book of this covenant. The Passover hadn't been being kept. They didn't know much about it. Surely there was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. There was a lot of great Passovers that were held, but this more or less topped them all. There was never a Passover like this that was held. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein the Passover was holding, this Passover was holding to the Lord in Jerusalem. This was the one that was observed the greatest of all. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and wizards and images and idols and all the abominations were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem. In other words, if they saw an abomination or an idol, they picked it up and destroyed it. And Joseph and Josiah put away, that he might perform the works of the law which were written in the books that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Now, I really like that passage. You know, what that says, he did more than even David. We think of David being a man after God's own heart and accomplished so much, but he did it more perfectly than any king before him or after or any of the judges. He really did things to the best of his ability and followed God with his whole heart, as it said here. And he was only like 26 years old when this happened. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, which is wherein his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. And when God had said he was going to destroy and cause Jerusalem and Judah to go captive, just like Israel had done, particularly because of Manasseh, but all the other people and kings as well. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. He was going to do it. And the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the King of Judah? Now, we've read some of those. There's some other things we have it covered. We won't have time in this split sermon, but could probably make a whole sermon out of this to cover them all. Just look at another event, though, that happened in the 18th year of Josiah's reign. You remember, he was 26 years old. 2 Kings, the 22nd chapter, gives an account where Josiah directed the temple be repaired, for it was in a very bad state of repair. And we read back there in 2 Kings 22 where that was done. We won't cover all the verses, but you can see that. But in the course of looking through the temple, the priest found a book of the law with some dire words in it for Jerusalem. And the scribe brought it back and read it before Josiah. It doesn't say exactly what part of the law it was, but I would imagine it included Deuteronomy, particularly verses 27 and 28, 29. And we can read that, Deuteronomy 29:27. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to look upon all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may all do the works of this law. That was read before him in 2 Kings, if you're still there, 2 Kings, the 22nd chapter and verse 11. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. And he was real upset about that. He rent his clothes, and it says he wept in another place. And he directed the priest to inquire of the Lord to see if these things applied to him in that day. And they went to a prophetess by the name of Huldah, and here's what she said. And this, we pick this up in verse 15. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, you shall say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you had humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard that I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and accursed, and has rent your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. So that shows that God holds us accountable when we first learn of something. It says here, when you heard what I spake against this place. He grew up as a young boy, and he wasn't really schooled in any of this. He didn't really understand it until the books of the law was read to him by the scribe. Then he rent his clothes, and he wept before him, and it really upset him. And continuing on in verse 20, behold, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered into your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the evil which I bring upon this place. And she said to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you. And they brought the king word again. So they came back and told him, well, Josiah, you don't have to worry about all these things. It won't happen in your day. It's going to happen. It's sure it's going to happen, but it won't happen in your day. He may not have told him. He still didn't know how long it would be, perhaps. But he could probably see some of the handwriting on the wall, how the nations around them were becoming more and more hostile and things were falling apart. Maybe like we are today, things are looking pretty bad. You know, you wonder sometimes how long we can carry on. Maybe we could draw a parallel in that, how compare the situation we have today to the days of Josiah. God says it's coming. Judah was going to go into captivity, but he said it won't come in your day. Josiah, because you have humbled yourself and rent your clothes and wept before me. So God does hear our prayers and our supplication. Now there's one final chapter in Josiah's life I want to cover today. There's a few other things that's mentioned that we won't get into. You can go back and read in those three or four chapters each in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles and get the whole complete story. But most of what we've covered happened by the time he was 26 years old. But he lived another 13 years. All these things we just read happened before or right about in the 18th year of his reign. But not a lot is given, but evidently overall he had a very successful reign, because 2 Chronicles, the 26th, this is turn over there, 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter. This is towards the end of the book, end of his reign anyway. 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 23. verse 20. I think I've got one chapter off. Okay, 2 Chronicles 35:26. And the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness, according to that which is written in the law of the Lord. It talks about his goodness and his deeds, the first and last. Behold, they are written in the books of the kings of Israel. So he went down in history as having a successful reign, as considered one of the good kings. But in the 31st year of his reign, he was 40 years old. And the king of Pharaoh of Egypt came up against Carchemish. That was a town in southern Turkey today. You can find it on the map up by the, more or less, the upper reaches of the Euphrates River on the opposite side of Judah from Egypt. Egypt was south or south, southwest, I guess it would have been, and this was northwest of Israel. And it was actually a king up there in what would be Iraq now, but he controlled that area, and Carchemish was a important town there. There was a ford on the Euphrates River where all the traders come across. It didn't say here in the Bible what the battle was about, but evidently there was some dispute with the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh of Egypt, and this king of Assyria up there by the Euphrates River, and they went up to Carchemish to have a battle. And Judah was in the middle, and really wasn't involved in the dispute, but Judah was in the middle, and Josiah went up against Necho, the Pharaoh. And Necho said, in effect, "Hey, Josiah, my fight's not with you," but Josiah would not listen. Turn over to 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter, and verse 22. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archer shot at Josiah, and the king said to his servants, "Have me away, for I am sorely wounded." And his servants therefore took him out of the chariot and put him in the second chariot. Perhaps it was a little bigger chariot where he could lie down, it doesn't say, but they put him in another chariot that he had. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died. He was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. And Jeremiah, we mentioned him earler, lamented for Josiah. And all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah and their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel. And behold, they're written in the Lamentations. Now, you could look over in the book of Jeremiah, get a concordance, and there's a number of places it refers to Josiah, at least by name and date and all. It doesn't give a lot about Josiah, because his prophecy was mainly not against Josiah, but against the other, later on, Zedekiah and all the other kings of Judah who didn't follow God. Notice it doesn't say directly that Josiah disobeyed God, but it doesn't say that he inquired of God whether he should go meet Necho to battle. Verse 22 does say the words of Pharaoh were from the mouth of God. In other words, you know, I don't know from that translation, I don't know where that means Pharaoh was just saying, "Hey, I don't have a battle with you," or maybe he was saying, "It's God's will." I don't know how much Pharaoh understood, but perhaps God inspired Pharaoh to say that. But nevertheless, Josiah was headstrong, and he went ahead and did it anyway. So this story jumps all of a sudden from the 18th year to the 31st year of his reign. And you wonder, did he become weary in well-doing? He accomplished so much in the next 13 years. Why didn't he inquire of God? You know, he sent the priest to inquire at one time we read about, to go ask the, and they went to the prophecies, and they came back and said, "Oh, this evil is not going to happen in your time. You'll go to your grave." Or did he rely too much on his own judgment? Had it all gone to his head? He'd been king so long, and things were going well. The people loved him. And so here comes up the king of Egypt. He's going to go out and fight with him and drive him back, even though the king or the Pharaoh of Egypt said, "Hey, I just want to pass through. I don't want to fight you." He went out and he got shot in the back with an arrow. When I first focused on this story several years ago, I wondered, why did Josiah, who did better than any king before him, including David and all his problems, only live to 40, while David lived to 80? That was sort of a puzzle. I said, he was a man, he did everything right. There's none better than him before or after. Then I realized a few things. How long we live is not a measure of righteousness. You know, God doesn't say, oh, you do right, you'll live a great long life. Some do, some don't. God has a schedule. Perhaps it was time to punish Judah and Jerusalem by his schedule, but he had promised that it would not happen in Josiah's day. So maybe it was time for Josiah to go out of the way. It is not how you begin, but how you end up that really counts. That's another conclusion you can draw on this. You know, Jesus said, if you endure to the end, you shall be saved. Perhaps if Josiah had asked God about fighting Necho, he would have told him he would not have been slain. He might have told him not to go up, and perhaps then Josiah would just die a natural death. Only God knows the exact reason he was taken so early. There's a number of reasons, perhaps, that could be. Now, I hope you found this book, this look in the life of Josiah, interesting and helpful. I did. I think there's some real important lessons in it for us. Putting together the story in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, Josiah was made king when he was 8 years old. We've got some 8-year olds here. Can you imagine? Could they imagine being a king? Obviously, he'd have a regent or somebody making decisions for him, and it must have been his mother that had a lot to do with that, because it gives her name. I'm sure there were other scribes and teachers and all that, but somehow or another, he chose the right way. He began to seek God when he was 16. He began to actually take an active role when he was 20. He purged the land of false worship and tore down the idols. And this continued until at least he was 26, in the 18th year of his reign. And then God started revealing things to him. Perhaps after he had shown his willingness to obey God in one area, other things were revealed to him. They found the books of the law buried away somewhere there in the temple. Even the priests didn't know about them, apparently. And they read them, and they carried them to the scribe, and the scribe carried them to Josiah, and they read them, and he rent his clothes, and he wept before God. He was really a man of action. But there's not any details that I could find that were given in the next 13 years of his death. There's nothing good or bad next 13 years of his life until his death. But there's a few things I think we should note, and we can apply this today. Mothers play an important role in getting a child starting on the right track, just as Josiah was influenced undoubtedly when he was 8, 9, 10 years old. Or conversely, on the wrong track, like Ammon. He gives her name there, and she evidently had a lot to do with her son there. The other thing we should note, the very young can seek God. Josiah was 16 years old when he began to seek God. Here was a young boy, 8 years old. He grew up in paganism where they had the idols. They were everywhere. The priests, they're offering idols, and they're even sacrificing children. But he was, when he was 16 years old, he began to seek God. Are any 16-year-olds out here? I know we've got some that are 16 years old. It's not too early to start seeking God and studying God's word. And we've got some very nice kids, and I know they study and read God's word, and we have Bible classes, and they participate in activities, and that's good. So we can follow the example of Josiah. God is always faithful in keeping his word. It took 375 years for the prophecy that was given to Jeroboam to be completed. It stretched out over a long time. Now, that's a long time. As I said earlier, if the prophecy had been given in George Washington's day, we'd still have over 100 years to to go before it was fulfilled. It even took longer than that for Judah and Jerusalem to be punished. There were several kings after Josiah before they were actually carried away in captivity. God said it would not happen in his lifetime, and it didn't. God does not necessarily reward good actions with long life. Perhaps sometimes, but not. That's not a guarantee. And we are responsible for our actions. Josiah acted in haste without consulting God, and his life was shortened. If we know these things, we can be more confident in the sure will and purpose of God.